Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. I want us to continue that prayer. Father, Lord, we know that we can only boast in the cross. And Lord, we thank you that you became flesh and you dwelt among us. And Lord, you, in obedience to your Father, went to the cross where you were brutally and horrifically crucified. And yet still death had no power over you. And 3 days later, you rose again so that our sin could be forgiven, so that we could know you. And so that for the remainder of our lives, we can truly say it's only because there was a Savior who went to a cross and there was a resurrection and forever sin was defeated. So Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We have to truly understand that really the Apostle Paul said it best, I can only boast in the cross. And the reason so many people want so little to do with church is because most people who call themselves followers of Jesus are not boasting in the cross. They're boasting in rules and religion and tradition, and there's no power in those things. And so some of you decided you would come here tonight because we weren't meeting in a church, because you didn't want to go to one of those places. And probably a lot of you have memories of a place like that where there were these people and they seemed really mean. And unless you would just submit to their rules and all those things, then there wasn't much love that would be shown. And that's one of the things I love about Godstock, is I hear story after story of people who say, I was done with church. I'd forgotten about all that. I still was interested in God and I was still interested in Jesus, but I didn't want anything to do with church. And I hear story after story of people who said, I went to Godstock after years and years, and it was there that God got a hold of my life. And I want you to know, too long we have preached that the gospel is, it's kind of, we've used these illustrations that, the gospel is kind of like you're out in the ocean and you're drowning and somebody's thrown you a lifesaver. And we said that the gospel is that you, if you would just reach out and grab the lifesaver. But I want you to know that's not the gospel. The gospel is not that you would grab the lifesaver, but I want to tell you, and it's incredible news, the gospel is that you would be grasped by the life giver, that he would take hold of you and that he would take hold of me. Because when I looked at my life, I want you to know, no matter what my mama said, there wasn't a lot of worth. And most of the stuff that I was doing, most of it just wasn't good. And in and of myself, I had no hope of heaven. But then I was grasped by the life giver. The Bible says that we're dead in our trespasses and our sins. So I want you to know the gospel is this. Somebody asked me one time, they said, but I've done a whole lot of stuff. And before I come to Jesus, I'm going to quit doing all this stuff. How many of you went down that road? The rest of you are lying. Come on, how many of you went down there? How many of you have tried to get to heaven on your own? I have. Man, I thought I'd stop doing this and stop doing that, and I start doing these three things and then do this one thing, and I always fell short. I always went back. How many of you promised God, this is the last time, I promise. Never again, God, this is it. I am your... Hello. How many of us have been there? So it wasn't about us changing our mind or changing our behavior. I had to be captured by a God of grace. And He took hold of me and He never gave up on me. And He continued to love me and He forgave me and He gloriously saved me. And that is the gospel. And so people tell me, they say, you know, I've been going to church for a while and I don't know, I'm not getting it, I'm missing something. What do you think I should do, Pastor Jamie? And I meet a lot of people and that's kind of their deal. And I really, after years, I've only really thought of one thing that I can say to them. And maybe you're here tonight. You've kind of given up on the church deal, but you know, you've come to Godstock. You heard the fish was good. And so you were here and you're wondering, I don't know. I don't really get it. What should I do? And this is the only thing I can share with you. If I were you and I knew that I didn't have a relationship with Jesus and I knew that I tried to stop this and stop this, but I couldn't stop. And I tried to start this and start this, but couldn't keep doing it. I have one thing to say to you tonight, that I would pray. And I'll even tell you this, I wouldn't even listen to the rest of this sermon after I tell you this part. I would just start praying to the life giver. Oh God, save me. Save me, God. Save me. And just pray that. Because the guy asked me, he said, you know, I've tried to stop all this stuff and I can't do it. Are you telling me that all I have to do is if I just want to be saved, I'll be saved? And I said, no. He said, well, then what? I said, if God wants to save you, you'll be saved. But here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus became flesh. The Bible says he dwelt among us. And he laid his life down. And I hate all the pictures and the stories we have of Jesus. Because most of these pictures and these stories, he's kind of this wimpy guy, don't you think? And he's got real soft skin, flowing blonde hair. He's kind of cute. He kind of looks like a surfer. How many of you have seen the pictures? And yet when I read the Bible, this guy was like a construction worker. And it's so funny because as a kid, one of the pictures I had of Jesus was my dad. And my dad had these calloused, tough, rough hands that could rip my head off and did several times. And he was a man. And when I think of this Jesus, he wasn't this wimp or this guy like this. This was a Jesus. And they didn't take him and do something to him because he said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. So they can't do anything to me except what I would allow them to do. And so this Jesus, who worked with wood for 30 years, comes to this moment, this point in his life where he answers the call of God that he would go to the cross. Why? Why would he go to the cross? Because there's no hope for us if he doesn't. There's no hope for us. And except that Jesus would allow them to take him and to put him on the cross. And so many of us here tonight, we're like kind of like church people, and we've done the church deal, and we've heard about the cross so much that we can unattach all emotion to listening to the cross. And yet what they did to him, I don't think Mel Gibson quite captured what really happened to Jesus. And though his depiction is brutal, I don't think he quite captures how horrible it was. I heard a pastor say that from his recollection of Jesus on the cross and the passion, there was no yelling. And I heard him say, you know, you don't put a nail through somebody's hand and they not scream. And yet Jesus allowed this to happen. Why? Because if it's up to me to get to heaven, I'm not getting there. And I've done everything that I know to do. I've stopped doing most things that I know I should have stopped. And it's not good enough. And I can't measure up. And it's not going to be about me, because the Bible says that I can only boast in the cross of Christ. And so some of you are here tonight, and we're trying to boast in a lot of things. We're trying to give glory and credit to a lot of things. And yet God's word says that I can only boast in the cross. Do we understand what that means? And how many of you really understand that it is about Jesus and it's about what he's done? And while every other world religion will tell you can get to heaven on your own if you do these things and these things, I've never once felt that I might make it without Jesus. I have no hope apart from him. I have no hope apart from Him. Jesus willingly accepted death on a cross so that you and I, our sin could be forgiven and we could enter into a relationship with Him, and thus begins the most amazing journey that you will ever be on, is in walking with Jesus. And if you will trust Him as your personal Savior, and if you'll understand that He absolutely was the only substitution for what we had done for our sin. He was the only one. And if we could grasp that, if we could understand that, then we could understand that He desires us to give Him every moment of this life that we now live. And so He's calling you and He's calling me to follow Him. But I want to be really honest. Because when I was thinking and praying about this night and that I would be preaching, you know, there's always a temptation when you preach and you're before people, and that temptation is just to want to hear people say, good sermon, or good job, or that was good. But I want you to know, when you preach the gospel, it doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always sound good, because God is calling us to something that without Him we could never accomplish. And that's why some of you are so tired, and some of you are so defeated, and some of you are so discouraged, because you've tried it without Him for so long. And my prayer for you tonight is that He would save you. That you would realize there's nothing you can do. God didn't set it up so that you could help Him save you. Because you can only boast in the cross. You can only boast in the cross. And I apologize to the unbelievers that are here, those of you who've not yet said you're going to follow Jesus. I apologize to you. Because we who call ourselves followers of Jesus, we have attempted to hug and to kiss and to love each other on Sunday, but then on Monday we conduct ourselves like the pagans. I can only boast in the cross. The only hope that I have is in the cross. Because this isn't about me and it isn't about you. It's about what Jesus has done. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified. How will we grasp that? How will we respond to that? How many of you would be willing to say, I'm done. I can't do it anymore, God. I've tried the rules and I've tried Your way and I've tried to do all these things and I'm doing my best, God, but I can't do it. I'm falling short, God. I quit. I give up. I can't try anymore. And then He says, now I will save you. Now I will save you. Because you can't do it. Religion has done far more harm than all the drugs and all the alcohol and all the things that we could pile up and say are horrible things. Religion has done more to be a hindrance to the gospel than anything else. It's about Jesus. And it's about Him and Him alone. And it's only through Him that I can be saved. And some of you, we come and sometimes you see somebody come to the altar and you look back and there are pockets of people looking and pointing and saying, why are they at the altar? They don't deserve God's grace. And yet the very definition of grace is unmerited favor. And that means I don't deserve what God did for me. And you don't deserve what God did for you. That's why it's called grace. And so my prayer tonight isn't that anybody would think this is a good sermon or that anybody would pat my back or anything like that. But my prayer tonight is that people would be saved. When's the last time those of you who call yourselves followers of Jesus, when is the last time that you prayed, that you shed a tear over somebody that you know who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? How callous have our hearts become? And so we're going to pray tonight that God would do only what God can do, and that is to save people. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is sharing a message, and we get towards the end. And in Matthew 7:24, Jesus says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew against it. And guess what? It fell with a great crash." And it's very interesting. In verse 24, he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice..." And so there's something that we hear the gospel. And there are three things that I want to go back, because Jesus said, "You've heard these words of mine. Now put them into practice." What are they? In verse 7, he says this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." And it's a picture of how we were saved. It's a picture of what God did in our lives. And he says this, just ask. Ask. Notice several things here. He didn't say, obtain this standard of conduct. Attend church this many times. Stop doing this or stop doing that. He says to ask. Ask. And some of you struggle because it seems so simple. And yet it's the most difficult thing that I would not try on my own anymore. But I would trust Him to be saved. Listen, folks, that's the gospel. That Jesus has done the work. He's already done it. And so the foundation that we're being called to build is the foundation that Christ has already built in His atoning death, in His redeeming sacrifice. Because what He's done is sufficient. It's not Him and these four things. It's not Him and these two things. It's not Him and then go do this class. It's Him and Him alone. And He will forgive you. I really want you to hear this. We're going to have a time of altar. You know, and it's my prayer. You know, when you're a preacher, you just hope at the altar everybody comes forward. I remember I was preaching at a camp and I gave this altar. There was like 200 kids at the camp and 100 kids came forward. And everybody's clapping saying, "Isn't this great?" And I said, "No, it's horrible. There's no way this many people mean that." And I said, "Everybody go back to your seat." And they're all looking at me and they don't know what to think. I said, "Everybody go sit down. There's no way. Do you understand that the Bible is calling us? Listen. You know, I'm starting to share these things with my children. It's really tough because when you tell people, God has a special plan for your life. Do you know what the special plan is? It's a cross. Because He calls us to come and die. And so I'm praying and, you know, I pray, Lord, I pray hundreds would be saved tonight. I pray hundreds would be willing to die tonight and give themselves to You. Oh, Lord, I pray for that. And yet the truth is this night would be worth it if one person would bow a knee to Jesus Christ and invite Him to come into their life, and we would celebrate that. And God would celebrate that. And the angels would celebrate that, and heaven would celebrate that, because it is miraculous that God would forgive us and He would save us. It's miraculous. And the last song they did was, I will praise you in the storm. Will you really? Will you really praise Him in the storm? Because I can only boast in the cross. And most of the times, you know, we're saying, oh, God, I hate my job. God, I hate my car. God, I hate my house. God, I hate my husband. God, I hate this and I hate that. And yet we're being called to boast in the cross. Because the greatest thing that can happen has happened. Jesus said, listen, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. And the first thing He said is to ask. To ask, and let me just clarify, this doesn't mean whatever you ask for, you get. Because until we have the heart of God, we ask for what we want. But it's amazing, we get the heart of God and we start asking for things that God wants, and guess what happens? He gives them. And so, I quit praying, God, I want $1 million, God. I mean, is that a good prayer? Because I said, God, if you give me $1 million, I'll give 5,000 to the church. But our prayers, as we begin to understand the heart of God, our prayers change from those trivial things to we begin to pray, God, save my neighbor. God, save my child. God, save my spouse. God, save my co-worker. And guess what God begins to do? He begins to do a work in our hearts, in our lives. And we realize that God has sent us and placed us there to begin to share the gospel. And so it's so remarkable. It's so miraculous that this God, He never stops. He never gives up. The Bible says He's always at work. And then He calls us to join Him in what He is doing. And you know what's awesome? Some of you are here tonight because somebody prayed, God, save my friend. God, save my neighbor. And I want to say that because one of the things that God showed me this week, and I really want you to hear this. One of the things God showed me this week as I was praying about the message and thinking about Friday night and how Friday night will tie around Saturday night. And I do believe that God's going to do that. But one of the things God showed me is that there are people here tonight who will never hear the gospel again. I obviously don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. All I can tell you is that tonight God has said to put these words that have been spoken into practice. And that means this tonight, that you would ask God to save you, ask God to forgive you of your sin. And the Bible says He's faithful and just, and He will do that. And listen to the second thing that Jesus is saying here in verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. How many of you really believe that? How many of you care? And how many of us will say, God, we're going to trust you. And God, we're going to walk with you. And God, wherever you lead, I'm going to follow. And God, even when it's raining, the storms of life have come. God, I'm going to follow you. And God, I'm going to be obedient. And God, I'm going to quit trying. And God, I'm going to trust you. And God, I'm going to surrender. Because I can't stop these things anymore. And I can't start these things anymore. God, and I'm tired. And I wonder if it's ever going to get better. And if things are ever going to look up. And if the storm's ever going to stop. And the great news that I want to share with you tonight is for every believer, the storms go away. And for every believer, the tears will stop. And for every believer, the sorrow and the pain comes to an end when there will be no more sorrow, no more tears and no more fear. But it's not here because this is not our world. Because God has made us for another world. The Bible says that He's put eternity in our hearts. And that means we long for something more than this world has to offer. And the true longing of our hearts is eternity. And Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So if you want to be normal, don't follow Jesus. Because the Bible says most people aren't. And yet the gospel's been clearly presented that He can save you, that He's willing to save you, that He can forgive your sin. And the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I've never met anybody to this day. I've never met anyone who believes that they've never sinned. Most people will say, well, I've sinned, but it wasn't that bad. Most people say, well, I sin, but like I know a lot of people go to church and it wasn't as bad as what they're doing. But the Bible says we've all sinned. And if you've sinned, no matter to what degree you feel you've sinned, we've fallen short. We've missed the standard of a holy God. And that means this, so I can't make it on my own, but God in His grace has made a way for you and I to make it. How many of you are really tired? You're tired of the struggle, you're tired of the storms, the pain, the tears, all the things that this earthly life brings. Well, I believe we tire because God has set eternity in our hearts. We tire because He set eternity in our hearts. And so He says, listen, enter through the narrow gate. Don't go the way everybody else is going. Don't go that way. Follow Me. Because God has a special plan for our lives. And it's a cross. And He's calling us to die to ourselves. To stop trying in our own power. And to follow Him. To truly follow Him. And the third thing Jesus says is to watch out for false prophets. It's interesting, these three things, and I believe in two of them we see salvation. Because He says to ask. He says to enter through the narrow gate. Those are very salvific things that lead to life. But the third thing He says, watch out for false prophets. That means this, you're going to hear a lot. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't listen to the philosophies of this life, of this world. Watch out for those things. Because what doesn't seem to make sense, in the end, you will find is the truth. And so it's tough. Here we are, we're in this life, and it looks like it has so much to offer. And Jesus is saying, follow Me, and I'll take you places you've never been. And I'll take you to people that you never would have met. And I'll do things in your life that would have never happened. Pastor Mark always writes in our bulletin, and he always ends it with, thank you that I get to live this life. I want to plead with you. Following Jesus is not easy. Did everybody hear that? Say yes. Following Jesus is not easy. It's not problem free. In some cases, I've got a whole lot more problems that I never would have had if I wouldn't have followed Him. But it's not about all of those things. Because there's been a joy that'll never be matched. That nothing else in this life can afford, can bring, than the joy of following Jesus and to have Him. And so I don't know how people get through tough things. And I don't know how people get through storms without Jesus. And somebody told me when I was in college, a really smart person said, you know what? Religion is just a crutch for weak people. And I said, well, I don't have religion. I've got a relationship. He said, whatever. I think Jesus is a crutch for weak people. And I said, oh, listen, I'm worse than weak. I'm dead. And he's not a crutch. He's a life support. And he's calling us to follow him. He's calling us to follow him. What will you give your life to? What will people say about you when you're gone? In what way will you be remembered and your life be honored? I always wonder, what will my children say about me when I'm gone? Because here's the truth. If you are really following Jesus, then that means you're taking the cross daily and you're carrying the cross of Jesus, because that's what he's called us to do. And so guess what we do as believers? We love people that the world says is unlovable. And we touch people that the world says is untouchable. With the love of God that only can penetrate a heart and only can forgive sin. And the gospel is that God can save you and that God will save you. And so if you're here tonight and you've been thinking about this, and maybe tonight you're wondering, I wonder if God could save me, I've got great news for you. The only reason you would even wonder if God could save you is because God desires to save you. The Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. And so my prayer tonight, as we enter into a time of altar, is that God would grasp us. That the life giver would grasp us. And that tonight, as you hear His voice, and as His Spirit moves in you and through you, that you would say, God, save me. Save me. I want to plead with you tonight. I want to plead with you. And I want to use the words of Jesus who said, enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. Everybody else is going to tell you there's some other way. But if there had been some other way, then Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross. Because Jesus prayed, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup be taken from me. But the Father didn't do it. The Father said, there's no other way. And so Jesus became the sacrifice so that our sin could be forgiven. Please hear me. He will save you. I remember a guy saying, listen, man, I smoked pot for 20 years. Can God save me? And I said, yes. He said, I smoked pot months ago. Will God save me? I said, yes. He said, I got to be really honest. I smoked a joint before I came in this morning. Will God save me? And I said, yes. He will save you. And so here's the deal. I want to close with this. That He's calling us to repent. Because when I look back at my life, I can only boast in the cross. So people say, well, Jamie, how'd you become a pastor? And how do you preach in front of a bunch of people? I can only boast in the cross. Because there's nothing of me that is worthy. It's God and God alone. And I want you to know, it is freeing to be able to say that. Because the most incredible thing that I could say is that God saved me. And He never gave up. He never gave up. And some of you are here and you're feeling like, I think that maybe God has given up on me. I don't know that God could really forgive these things in my life. I don't know that God could save me, but I want you to know, He absolutely can. And some of you would say, so what? All I've got to do is invite Him to come into my life. And the Bible says we must repent. And that means I'm living a life like this. But I'm going to turn, and God, I'm going to live and follow You. And repentance doesn't mean, well, God, I'm sorry about what I've done. It means this, God, I know my heart is broken for the life that I've been living. And I want to live in such a way that you would be pleased. And please listen. If you feel like tonight that God wants to save you, I truly believe that the only way I could even experience that is that God would do that in me. It's His work and His work alone. And so I can say this, that He loves you. And I can say this, He hasn't given up on you. And I can say this, He will save you. I want you to pray with me. I want you to bow your head. I want every person to bow your head. Close your eyes. Maybe some of you that are followers of Jesus, the Lord has just broken your heart tonight. And you just want to come to this altar and just pray that somebody would be saved. I want to ask you to get out of your seat and come right now. And if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you know that God wants to save you tonight, I want to invite you tonight to enter through the narrow gate. To ask Him to come into your life and ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And the Bible says that if we'll do that, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. If you're here tonight and you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm asking everybody to bow their heads. If you're here tonight and you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you want one, would you just lift your hand up and just put it right back down? Just lift your hand up, okay? Just real quick, okay? All right. There are hands raised all over the place. I want to invite you tonight. If you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you know that you need one, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar tonight. And there are people here that would pray with you, who will share with you how to invite Christ to come into your life. You've heard the gospel, that He's willing to save you. And I'm going to ask you, you probably came with somebody, take them by the hand, and you can come. Father, we love you, and we pray that you would be lifted up, that you would be glorified. Lord, we pray that you would save us. Lord, we pray you would grasp us. So, Father, change lives, change destinies, change eternities, Father, tonight. Be glorified. It's in your name we pray.